Dear brethren, it is our privilege to welcome you to the 2011 Salem Convention. We gather here today during the most troublous time in the world's history, when reading or hearing the news brings only stories of increasing distress upon all nations and peoples. A time when even the best-intentioned solutions that mankind attempts result in more distress and problems. The downtrodden peoples of the world are demanding and striving for more freedom and opportunities. All over the world, men's hearts are failing them for fear. In the midst of all this, we come together here to consider things along the lines of the texts that are on our program. Malachi 3:3. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Psalms 12:6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of fire, purified seven times. Isaiah 48:10. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. And Job 23:10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Purge them as gold and silver, tried in a furnace of earth. In the furnace of affliction, he hath tried me. To the natural-minded observer, this would appear to be a very disheartening and discouraging gathering. But for the child of God, us brethren, it is not so at all. We see in these statements the love and mercy of the Lord, the opportunity to strengthen our faith in the promises of God, our understanding of what the Master is doing and requiring in our lives, and our ability to cooperate with Him, that we may thereby gain the greatest blessing that will ever be given. While in these troublous and perilous times, our hearts ache for our families, friends, and indeed for all the world of mankind. Yet we know that our God not only will, but is actually now blessing all the families of the earth. Psalm 76:10 says, "Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain." This text speaks not only to the glory of God and His ability to deal with any and all situations, but it also tells us that anything which will not ultimately glorify Him and thus bless others, He will not allow to happen. There will come a time when all the world of mankind will be able to look back at their own experiences as well as at the experiences of others, and appreciate what a blessing these were and will be for all eternity. We are blessed in that we recognize this now, for them as well as for ourselves. No experience in all these troubles will be wasted, nor are any unneeded. As Paul tells us in Romans 9:28, "For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth." And in 1 Corinthians 7:29, "But I say, brethren, the time is short." Well, the conditions we see all about us should be an incentive to greater zeal to make our calling and election sure. It should not discourage us into thinking that we do not have enough time to accomplish our goal in the time that remains. The Lord is fully able to complete His own work, both on an overall as well as on an individual basis. What we must do is cooperate fully and completely with Him. We must study to know and understand His Word, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. We must apply the knowledge in our own experiences, be a doer of the Word, not just a hearer. We must share that which the Lord gives us with those around us. Anyone who has an ear to hear, stranger or friend or brother. The Master commissioned each of us to preach the gospel. We must be an example of the believers in all of our experiences, known and read of all men. Our journey is not an easy one. It is a narrow and steep way. Our experience is not always painless, nor do we always see immediately the what and why of the lesson. But they are always just what we need. In this time of confusion and severe distress throughout the world, we can take comfort, as Peter stated, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." We look at all about us and see trouble and pain and suffering, yet we should be rejoicing. As Luke 21:28 says, "And when ye see these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." In Hebrews 10:25 we read, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more, as you see the day drawing on." The Lord's injunction through the apostle respecting the assembling of His people is in full accord with His own words, "Where two or three of you are met in My name, there am I in the midst of thee." The object of these gatherings is clearly indicated. They are for our mutual advancement in spiritual things, opportunities for provoking or inciting each other unto more and more love for the Lord and for each other, and to increased good works of every kind that would glorify our Father, that would bless the brotherhood, and that would do good unto all men as we have opportunity. In this hour of temptation, with the sea and the waves roaring, as all about us men's hearts are failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, we are privileged, if we but exercise faith, to stand upon a sea of glass, safe and secure in the Lord's care. We are able to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The time is short. Our Master has seen fit to allow us in this time to strive to make our calling and election sure. Let us zealously, diligently, and fully be about our Father's business. We are His servants, and there is much work to do. It is our responsibility to keep ourselves in the love of God. It is our task to keep the sacrifice on the altar, daily and hourly. We are given the privilege and responsibility to assist one another to make ourselves ready. The Scriptures tell us that we are to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now is when we are to do this. It is not always an unpleasant task, however. For instance, we can do this here at this convention. by sharing the blessings that the Lord has poured upon us, our knowledge of His Word, the encouragement of the Scriptures, the lessons of our experiences, the joy that we now have, as well as what we expect to have and look forward to. Focusing on spiritual, not worldly things. Thus, let us show our zeal and our love for our God and our Master by doing as we have been instructed for our brethren. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. While others in the world consider their fellows to fault-finding or discouragement or selfishly to take advantage of their weaknesses, we, the new creation, are to do the reverse, to study carefully each other's dispositions with a view to avoiding the saying or doing of things which would unnecessarily wound or stir up anger, and so forth, but with a view to provoking each other to love and good conduct. Is not the whole attitude of the world, the flesh, and the devil provoking toward envy and selfishness, jealousy, and evil, and full of evil enticement to sin of thought, word, and deed? Why then should not we, the new creatures of the Christ body, not only abstain from such provocations toward ourselves and others, but engage in provoking or inciting in the reverse direction, toward love and good works? Surely this, like every admonition and exhortation of God's word, is reasonable as well as being profitable. We will receive the greatest blessing when we strive to be a blessing and serve others. Welcome, dearly beloved in the Lord, to this holy convocation. May the Lord bless us all. Thank you.